MERP is not a lien program in Texas. It just isn't. There's no set of circumstances under which MERP can place a lien on your home in Texas. Every time I hear an attorney say that it is a lien program, a title company, sometimes HHSC say that it is a lien program, I just cringe inside because it is encouraging that wrong belief that this is the big scary boogeyman, that if you get Medicaid benefits, the state's going to kick down your door Gestapo style and take your home away, right? This is not something we want people to believe. It is not a lien program. So what is it? Instead, MERP is going to be a Class 7 creditor of the probate estate. How many of you have never done a MERP claim, have never done a MERP defense? Is that by a show of hands for the blind girl? Why don't we try it again? How many of you have never done a MERP claim? No? No. Okay. How many of you do them on the regular? A few of you? Okay. So then I'll try to talk to both groups as much as possible. MERP is, like I said, a Class 7 creditor of the probate estate. So we want to think that where we start getting involved in this is when our person is dead. The very first thing I want to say, and I'm just going to say this super quickly, is they are a creditor of the probate estate and only of the probate estate. So the very best way to avoid MERP is not to have a probate estate. Very simple. We do ladybird deeds. We do transfer on death deeds. We do the new transfer on death instruments for vehicles through the DMV. We put beneficiary designations on the bank accounts, the life insurance policies, the IRAs, etc. We avoid MERP entirely. We don't have to deal with any of the other stuff that I'm about to talk about exemptions and things like that. Best way. But if you're not doing Medicaid planning, you may not get to this stage with the person. Instead, what you see is the person who comes into your office after the Medicaid recipient has died, and they say, I got this letter from the state, and they say I owe them $280,000. What do? I don't have $280,000. Can they take my mom's home? This is where we want to start looking at what the MERP program can do, what they can't do, and what you should be doing in response to this. There are ideal situations where this happens for you. Somebody gets the notice immediately, and immediately that day schedules an appointment in your office. Sometimes, on the other hand, 2 years later, they come into your office. So we want to start then by looking at what is this program's requirements? Because they are just a creditor of the probate estate. And in order for us to pay them, in order for you to tell your PR you want to pay this claim, they need to be a valid creditor. So we start by looking at what they need to do to be a valid creditor. There's a number of different requirements that you're going to have. Some of them are during the lifetime of the Medicaid recipient, and some of them are after the death of the Medicaid recipient. So initially, Health and Human Services needs to be providing notices to the Medicaid recipient or to the Medicaid recipient's power of attorney or guardian or any other family member that they know about, depending on who can be responsible for this. Among those notices is a Form 8001. This is a form that says, here's what the Medicaid Estate Recovery Program is, here's which services are covered, here's what happens if you transfer assets, here's when we can and can't make a claim, here are the exemptions. It's a very important form because this is basically the only opportunity that your Medicaid recipient is going to get to decide whether or not to get Medicaid programs based on whether or not MERP is going to apply to them. It is not a program that applies to everything. If you've got somebody getting SSI and regular Medicaid that comes with it, MERP does not apply to that. MERP is going to apply to certain long-term care services, including nursing home Medicaid, the STAR Plus waiver programs, some of the home and community-based services programs, for people who started receiving those benefits after March 1, 2005, who were over 55 when they began receiving the services. This is very important. It means that young people don't have to worry about it. People who are getting SSI don't have to worry about it. But is that always clear? No, obviously not. Because people are coming into my office and saying, I will not get SSI because Medicaid's going to take my house away. Okay, we'll fight that myth. So it's very important to know what services are covered. That Form 8001 includes a somewhat readable list of what is covered, although since there are so many various programs for Medicaid, it's not as clear as maybe it could be. But it's a very important form. If they did not provide it, they are not a good creditor. Do not pay them. Reject that claim. How do you know if they provided it or not? You ask them for the file, for the complete file, and if they didn't provide it, you send a rejection. So that's during their lifetime. After death, MERP must provide a notice of intent to file a claim within 30 days of the date on which they receive notice.